All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I am again joined by James Murphy. James, how are you?
Pretty good, Brendan. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Once again, we have been extremely busy.
Yeah, definitely. I've had about 4 college games to cover in the past week or so. You've been out to Ole Miss or State as well a couple of times, and quite a bit to get to on both of our fronts.
Yeah, I think between Saturday, from Saturday to Saturday, I saw 3 different college basketball teams between Ole Miss and Mississippi State's men's and women's teams.
Oh, yeah, that time of year?
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of this past week?
Just in terms of this past week, I'd say the two teams that I got the biggest read on were probably the Ole Miss's women's team and Mississippi State's men's team. I did get to see Mississippi State's women's team on Sunday, but you could probably give a better analysis of that than I could, just judging that you've seen them a bit more recently. But I saw the MSU's men play Kentucky and Ole Miss on Saturday, and I saw Ole Miss's women host Vanderbilt and Arkansas on Thursday and Sunday, respectively. They both lost in similar fashion, where they played pretty well on offense, but the other team just couldn't stop making threes. And I could divulge into that more, but it's weird how similar those games on Saturday and Sunday were.
Quite possibly the worst way to lose, like, basketball games is when the other team is just making shots regardless of, like, what you do, you know? To me, there's nothing, like, more disheartening than, like, you know, starting to get back in a game and then, you know, you put your hand in somebody else's face as they're shooting a three, and they shoot it over you and make it anyway and just totally undo whatever progress you just made.
Right, and I feel like both teams made it an emphasis on over the weekend to just kind of be like, we're going to take away the mid-range slash post. We dare you to make threes. And you'll never guess what the teams they were playing managed to do.
Let me guess. I'm putting all of my brain cells together. They made threes.
Survey says yes.
Thank you, Steve Harvey. how was it getting out to Starkville for a big game?
It was really nice. The hump was the loudest I've heard it. Granted, I haven't been, that was the second time I had, but it was an incredible environment, and it really stayed loud for most of the game. And if it wasn't loud from cheering or booing an official squad that had a couple of calls that could have gone either way throughout the game, if it wasn't that, or that they just made noise the entire game, or they were groaning because Kentucky, again, could not stop making threes, even with 0.2 seconds left on the shot clock. And it was a loud environment. You could tell that there's definitely buy-in for the program. People are invested. People are really excited about where this team can go. And I think that's a sentiment that's still feels that way for Mississippi State's men's team, just even with the loss, because, look, they did play a very good game. Three-point defense could use some work. I believe of all the SEC teams, they allow the third best opponent's three-point field goal percentage, so that probably had a bit to do with Kentucky's performance. But, look, they have the tools to be really, really good, and especially in the SEC.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to see a pretty good environment. Yeah, I was there for South Carolina. They had a pretty good crowd for that, but I imagine that place was pretty booked on Saturday.
Yeah, you had to get there pretty early just to get a seat. Now, granted, media, it's a different story, but if you were just a casual fan, you had to really plan in advance and really get things done ahead of time.
Yeah, I have to imagine that other than, you know, like Mississippi State, Ole Miss, basketball, Egg Bowl, I had to imagine that was probably the hardest ticket of the season.
Probably. And you knew Kentucky was going to be good heading into the year, and they have definitely lived up to that standard so far. They look like a team that, at their best, can beat anybody. And, yeah, it was going to – I have to imagine people were planning ahead for that game for a while.
As an alum of a school that put 100 points on Kentucky at Kentucky in regulation and lost – my condolences to Mississippi State for running into yet another red hot, if not white hot, Kentucky team.
And I believe a secondary effect from Kentucky not being able to miss was that I feel like that got into Mississippi State's heads a little bit offensively. Because every time Kentucky would make a three, Mississippi State would kind of go, oh, well, we got to answer with something. Like somebody would pull up from three when there was like plenty of time on the shot clock or just chuck up something that was ill-advised. And obviously you don't get the offensive rebound. So that's just kind of a possession that you lose. And Chris Jans made a point of that after the game. But yeah, he just was confused by the shot selection early. And as good as a lot of the Mississippi State guys are shooting threes, obviously Josh Hubbard's prowess from beyond the arc speaks for itself. I think Claudell Harris hit some really big shots throughout that game. Cameron Matthews had one that got the crowd going. But as a team, I feel like Mississippi State's more of a we're going to work the ball around and examine all of our options kind of team, as opposed to a chuck it up from three most of the time kind of team. Although they do have guys that, again, can be very good from that range. I think, yeah, that was another part of it. I think they just got out of system, especially towards the end, because there was 90, it was 93-90, Kentucky, Mississippi State. We had about a minute left, and it was yet another shot that was chucked up with plenty of time on the play clock, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see Cam Matthews just kind of explode offensively against Kentucky, because he's really been more of a playmaker for them. I believe he leads them in assists on the season. And 19 points, which looks like a season high for him. It just seems like State has a lot more of a pulse on offense this year.
100%. And again, they have a system that really works for them, where they have guys who can do different things. Josh Hubbard can help you from three. Cam Matthews can help you out in the paint. I still think Keyshawn Murphy can play a very, very valuable role on this team, especially in instances where they need to be able to match an opponent's size and length with some of their own, and just be able to have him get going. Obviously, still a lot to touch up on, but he can play a big role there. But they have guys that can do a lot of things, and it's really just a matter of not only honing it every night, but just trusting it. Because I feel like, as hot as Kentucky was, I feel like there were times where Mississippi State just got away from what they are.
Yeah, but between the two teams, if I'm counting right and doing my math and carrying the one, 11 players with double-digit points in that Kentucky-Mississippi State game. That was not like one game of like one dominant player, though. I guess Jackson Robinson, 27, probably gets you there. But I mean, there were just a bunch of guys in that game with, 13, 15, 12, somewhere in there. So if you like spreading the ball around, I'm sure that was a great game. I honestly did not catch any of it because I was coming back from Ole Miss, because I was there for the men's game against LSU. But it seemed like a game that, swung back and forth a good bit.
It did. It was kind of Mississippi State jumped out early, used the home crowd to get Kentucky riled up. Once Kentucky settled in and just kept making three after three, they just kind of rode that momentum for most of the first half. I think there was one sequence at the end of the first half. Josh Hubbard gets like a four-point play with 5 seconds left to make it a four-point game, I believe. And then right at the other end, Kentucky just nails a three at the buzzer going into halftime. It was just one of those things where anything Mississippi State could do, Kentucky could do just a little bit better, and that was enough.
Yeah, I don't know if this is just me coming from my perspective of paying attention to SEC basketball sort of since like the late 2000s, early 2010s, or what. I know that the SEC has always, or has recently gotten better, like a lot better at basketball, especially this year. But to me, there's just always something about beating Kentucky specifically, because it's like they're the basketball school of the conference, right?
Yeah.
Even if, it's we'll see where Kentucky shakes out. We'll see. I don't know if it has the same sort of appeal it used to like 10 years ago, where it felt much more of a David versus Goliath type deal. But, there's just something about hanging around with Kentucky that will either make you feel good or make you feel like you're pulling your hair out, because it's like, man, beating Kentucky would have been really nice.
Right. Gone are the days when the SEC was just Florida, Kentucky, and then fill in the blank from there when it came to the SEC. Now you have, I think, half the conference is ranked. I think if you went even deeper, most of the conference could compete to make the NCAA tournament at the very least. But yeah, even then, it's Kentucky, man. It's the name brand, it's the recognition, and they're always really going to have that.
Yeah, so this is a tweet from friend of the podcast, Robbie Falk, from, I believe, Saturday Night. MSU is now 1-20 in the last 21 games to Kentucky, and 13 of those losses are by single digits. MSU has virtually played this same game for over 15 years, and they cannot win it. So, that's some perspective from, someone very different than us, because we've only been here for a couple of years, so we're not as, I guess, attached to the history of that. But that's got to be extremely infuriating to have Kentucky on the ropes at home and just not be able to quite pull it out against a team that, historically you have not beaten. And it's frustrating when they do it in the way that they did.
100%, but I suppose it beats getting shelled at Rupp Arena like they did this time last year.
Look, going to Rupp Arena is always rough, or should I say Rupf. I'm not apologizing for that one. But yeah, I don't know, just any other notes you had from that?
Just from that game. Again, I think Mississippi State has the tools to make noise in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, it being the weirdest and wildest tournament in American sports, maybe professional sports, which is why we love it. It can be a little bit tough to look ahead for these things. And again, this is a program still just looking to win an NCAA tournament game. But look, the tools are there. The identity is there. The depth is there. And I think they have a lot of different pieces to make it work. It's really just a matter of execution and really not even shooting to the top of this really deep SEC, but just being able to stay above water until maybe March.
Yeah, I mean, that's the formula this year for the SEC. I think I said this last week, is outside of like a couple teams, take care of business at home and pray you can get something on the road. It is not going to be easy to win on the road in the SEC this year. I don't know the splits off the top of my head. I'd be interested in finding it out, especially once we get deeper into conference play. But, man, it just seems like everybody's having a hard time winning on the road right now.
It does. And just to illustrate how, as Christian said, there's not really time for mourning after a big loss. After Kentucky, where is Mississippi State headed next? Number one, Auburn. Granted, Johnny Brougham will not be playing, so we will see how that impacts things, but even still.
Yeah, it is going to get hairy for both schools here coming up. I'll touch on Ole Miss in a second, but both schools are facing a sort of stretch of death over the next couple weeks here. State with Auburn on the road, which is not fun. And then Ole Miss at home, rivalry, Egg Bowl. I'm sure that place will be packed. And then, Tennessee on the road. And, it slows down a little bit after that. But then I think they have another stretch of death to sort of close out the conference slate. But, I mean, everybody's going to have these runs where, they run into a couple teams that they should be. And then a run of games where it's like, If you win one of these and then maybe another, perfectly fine, right? I'm going to switch over to Ole Miss LSU real quick. I was there on Saturday, and I think I tweeted this at halftime. It was certainly a college basketball game that happened. There were points in that first half where it could have been played with yakety sax in the background. It was just not pretty. Ole Miss ended up taking care of business pretty easily, though, all things considered. But there were some stretches where it was some really ugly basketball being played. I will say, though, the start to that game was really funny. I sort of tweeted this out. If you looked at the scoring made what I called a basketball sandwich, because Ole Miss scored the first 7 points, and then LSU scored the next 15, and then Ole Miss scored the next 8 to tie it up at 15. So it was just all one team, all the other, all one team. So,
yeah, that's quite the sandwich.
Yeah, you know, they say that college basketball is a game of runs, but I don't think they meant it that literally.
Man, who knows?
But yeah, Ole Miss was up 28-26 at halftime. Just sort of a gross half altogether. And then they turned it on in the second half, because that's just sort of what this team has done this year, is just kind of, you know, some of these games, just turn it on in the second half. Ideally, you know, you would play that way both halves, but, you know, baby steps.
Yeah, exactly.
And it goes down in the scorebooks as a 12-point win. Honestly, was not that close. I think at one point, Ole Miss led by like 20, 21 points in the second half. You know who it was a big week for, though, was Malik Dia, who really found his offensive groove in these last two games, both you know, home against LSU and then earlier in the week against Arkansas on the road. That's the one team who's losing at home right now is Arkansas. I believe that's back-to-back losses, because they lost to Florida at home on Saturday as well. So not a fun time there. But anyway, Malik Dia just turned it on offensively. You know, the last two games, 19 points, 7 rebounds against LSU, and then against Arkansas, 21 and 8. And really just really solid games from him. And yeah, I don't know. That was the one standout. Ole Miss kind of pieced it together by committee from there. But yeah.
But you just feel like he just adds a more complete, he kind of makes this team more complete.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you get more scoring from somebody, that's always going to help.
Those were both season highs for him?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, nice.
So, yeah, big half, or I guess a big game from him. You know, Ole Miss managed to piece together some depth scoring in that one and pull away in the second half. And we head to a interesting Egg Bowl this week.
Yeah, I believe the both, but the, for the men's game, it's just going to be that Saturday, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, you know, there's games throughout a college basketball season where you learn a lot about teams, and I feel like we're going to learn a lot about both of them on Saturday.
Yeah, I just sort of feel like both of these teams are pretty even, and, you know, I just feel like the fact that, you know, Mississippi State's playing at home is probably going to be the decider there.
Probably, but again, they have had trouble stopping the three, and we know that from Ole Miss, certainly last year and at times this year, their offense has looked really, really good. So we'll see what happens in terms of what gives there. But yeah, that'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, in case you're curious about how close these teams are from sort of like an analytical standpoint, this is a game between teams number 20 and 24 in KenPom right now.
Wow.
So, it's projected to be a 76-72 win for State, mostly, I think, because they're at home. But, State is the 20, and Ole Miss is 24th.
Oh, okay.
But it is sort of an interesting battle of strengths versus weaknesses. You know, Ole Miss is a little bit better defensively. State is a little bit better offensively. It's just not much between the two of them.
Yeah, and those matchups are going to be everything. And, you know, I asked Chris Jans after the Kentucky game what it would take to kind of win the kind of games that he played on Saturday. And probably the biggest thing he mentioned was just valuing possessions, you know, just trying to go into each one of them, realizing that the opportunity in front of you is what you have. Like, you don't have, like, oh, the next possession or later in the game or da 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 da. And yeah, obviously it applies to both offense and defense, but mostly on offense. So I'm interested to see not just how it's applied against Auburn, but how it is applied against Ole Miss on Saturday.
Yeah, I think one of the big things for Mississippi State, you mentioned, you know, making the most of every possession. And I think one of the big things for them has been that they've just been a better three-point shooting team this year. Are they a great three-point shooting team? Not especially, but still a good bit away from last year where I believe they were literally like one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country.
Right. It's not just Josh Hubbard for three and Josh Hubbard and Josh Hubbard. No, they have some actual – they have help with three. Riley Kugel, although he looks a little banged up, he was able to knock one down. RJ Melendez knocked one down. I talked about Claudell Harris. Like, they have other guys who either can start and shoot from three or – and look, it was almost one of those things where the only way was up given their struggles last year, but they've gone up pretty considerably.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really need. You don't necessarily need to be, you know, the greatest three-point shooting team, but, you know, being a decent three-point team is a big deal when you were not that last year. Nothing ramps up your points per possession quite like getting hot from three.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I wanted to shout out Jamin Brakefield. I forgot to mention this while we were talking about the LSU game, but he put up 16 points against LSU. Most of them came in the second half. But that's the second time in three games that he's put up double-digit points. I mean, Ole Miss just kind of gets a little bit of production from everybody. You know, like against Arkansas, Sean Padula had a nice night, as did Dia. But I talked to, or I asked Chris Beard after the Ole Miss game, or after the LSU game, because they had, I think, five guys with double-digit points. And he basically said, like, that's you know, sort of the identity of what they want to do. That is by design. You know, he doesn't, you know, that's kind of the way you need to win games in this conference, was the general gist, is that you can't just have one dominant score. You need, you know, contributions from up and down the lineup. And that's kind of what happened with them against LSU. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, we saw it with State against Kentucky. I'm sure you'll see something very similar when these two teams get together for you know, the Egg Bowl.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, was there anything you wanted to touch on?
Just in terms of the this side, no.
But, yeah, we'll have to see. It's always great. You know, we kind of brought it up last year. I'll mention it this year. It's just nice to see sort of the basketball Egg Bowl really have some meaning.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it'll get the eyes of, obviously, not just the people in Mississippi, but now, this year, it'll get the eyes of a lot of people across the country if they keep playing like this.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting last year when, you know, Ole Miss came into conference play with a good bit of hype and, you know, I think won a couple of conference games before it all imploded around them, right?
Right.
But it really feels like Ole Miss has something a bit more stable this year. And, you know, State, once again, has another solid team from Chris Jans and co. And I looked it up. I always hate trying to figure out bracketology when we record on a Monday because a lot of them do that on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and looking at week-old bracketology stuff doesn't really make any sense. But it really seems like both of these teams, unless something incredibly bad happens and either one just totally falls off a cliff, it seems like both of these teams are tourney-bound. So I was curious. I believe that the last time that both schools made the tournament was 2019.
Hmm.
Which doesn't feel super long, but also does feel long, you know, for two power conference schools to have not made the tournament the same year.
Right. How do you know how many they've done at all time?
Not off the top of my head. It's not that many.
Yeah.
It's what? I think, 9 for Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting to see this game have legit, you know, implications.
Oh, yeah. And, again, we're going to learn a lot about these teams, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, and then how was it with you yesterday?
Well, as I said, it was a very similar result in that Ole Miss kind of dared Alabama to shoot three, and Alabama made those pretty much all those threes. They came from mostly two people, though. I believe it was Ali and I had 32 points, and Zay Green had 27. They combined for 11 of Alabama's 12 three-pointers. Also, for reference, Kentucky had 16 against Mississippi State. But I want to throw a number for you.
Okay.
60.
Okay. Are you about to do some, like, numerology-type stuff here? Or?
No, I think it's going to be more straightforward than that, but Ole Miss was allowing 49.1 points per game heading into yesterday's game. Best mark in the country. You look through the schedule, they are, when allowing fewer than 60 points, they are 11-0. When they allow 60 or more, they're 0-5. So, now, granted, I think, now, could things change? Could they suddenly get into a type where they win shootouts? Possibly. But from what I've seen from Ole Miss, they do rely on their defense. Like, their defense is their offense, as Coach Yo will tell you herself. And, you know, it will set up the offense. It'll get them going in transition and be able to create opportunities that are more likely to end up in points, as opposed to starting on the end line and kind of going from there and not being able to get ahead of anybody. But if Ole Miss's women are going to be able to go far, it's going to be largely because of their defense. They do have good scorers. I think Kennedy Todd Williams can do a lot from three-point range. We saw Star Jacobs have career highs in points and rebounds against Alabama, and she was a presence in the paint. They were able to get a lot from Christine, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Iwala, and she was able to help there as well. It's just a matter of being able to play more of a complete offensive effort and distribute the ball and really take advantage of the opportunities that the defense most of the time will give you. Granted, didn't give them as many because two Alabama players combined for about 65% of their point total. But look, I think with college basketball, as in with any sport, if you have a great defense, it can take you far, but you also need to be able to supplement it enough. And I think that over the next couple of weeks, Ole Miss is going to have to find a way to do that consistently.
I appreciate the thought and the research. But also at the same time, it really sounds like, did you know that it's a lot easier to outscore your opponent when you give up fewer points?
Also very true. It was just an odd number that I thought was just like, this happens when it doesn't. This happens when it does.
This is, once again, I'm going to make another hockey analogy that will make no sense to anybody else. But I believe there was one year where the Sharks, it was like, there was a big thing where it was like, our record when we gave up, they were like undefeated when they gave up two or fewer goals. And it's like, that's great. But, you know, they were a pretty good offensive team. And it was like, that's great. But giving up two goals or fewer, chances are if you do that, you're going to win anyway.
Very true. It's one of those things where, is it a little bit, yeah, but at the same time, a lot of people will love it because numbers.
Yes. Yes. We always love numbers here. This is a very much a numbers friendly podcast. There quite possibly might not be a more numbers friendly podcast.
Absolutely not. It's especially Brendan being one of the men who loves making charts.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I can basically do the entire Moneyball movie off the top of my head. So.
Fantastic.
You know, don't make me point at Pete again.
There's no Pete in the room to point at.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else I need? Mississippi State's women's team. I just want to mention this. Big win over Oklahoma. I was there last week. big win for them, getting a win against a top 10 opponent at home. Back and forth game that really, like, I don't know if it, I think State had like an 11 point lead in the first half or something like that. But other than that, they kind of gave it up. And then it just swung between like Oklahoma by 4, State by 2, State by 6. You know, it just kind of swung back and forth, and State held on at the end. You know, Ja'Kayla Jordan with a very, very big night. Another game where, yeah, they had a pretty solid leading score, but I mean, they just got, you know, contributions here and there from everybody. And, you know, that's just the kind of win that you need at home sometimes, especially after that South Carolina game, you know, where they let South Carolina off the hook. They did not let Oklahoma off the hook.
They did not. Sam Purcell has talked about Ja'Kayla Jordan being one of the better players in the country, and she has certainly made a case for it over the last couple of games. You know, as I think I've stated in other podcasts, she post up, bucket, mid-range, bucket, three-pointers, bucket. She can score from anywhere, and a lot of it is going to be supplemental efforts. By the way, I was impressed with, I know it's not the Oklahoma game, but Anaya Russell was questionable heading into the Georgia game. I believe it was yesterday. Not only was she able to play, she had 21 points. Very impressive effort. And yeah, again, it's just going to take a complete effort to be able to supplement. Like, much like with Ole Miss, they're going to need to find ways to supplement the defense. Mississippi State, I feel like, is going to need to find ways to just be able to space the ball out so Ja'Kayla doesn't have to do almost everything.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see that, you know, yesterday that it was not just her, you know. I mean, the big number in the Mississippi State Oklahoma game was the turnovers. I think it was like 21-11. Like, Oklahoma just kept turning the ball over. They turned the ball over. I mean, State was stealing passes. They were forcing bad passes. Oklahoma threw the ball away a few times. It was not pretty at moments for Oklahoma. And, you know, turnovers are big. It's a game of runs, but it's also a game of possessions. And if you're just, you know, handing the ball to the team, you know, that's never good, especially since it seems like, you know, a lot of turnovers just lead to runouts.
Yeah, the more opportunities you give a team, the more they're going to be able to cash in on them.
And we talked about the men's Egg Bowl. There is a women's Egg Bowl the following day, too.
Within hours, if I'm correct, in the same building.
Yes. I haven't checked the tip times for those, but I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure that you're right that they are not far off.
But, yeah, that too, is going to be fun. I am very interested in the unstoppable force, immovable object matchup being how Ja'Kayla Jordan fares against this Ole Miss defense, because while this is the best defense that Mississippi State has seen all year, but also that if you're Ole Miss, there has already been an instance within the past several hours of recording of this podcast where two players were able to slice and dice you for 84 points. And so that's got to be fresh. That I have to imagine that will be fresh in the minds of Ole Miss heading into that one, where it's like, it'd be better. It, like, just one player could do a lot of damage.
Yeah. Once again, another toss-up. Might as well, you know, lean a little towards the team with home court. But yeah, it's said to be a pretty darn good week for Mississippi college basketball.
100%. It's going to be a good showcase. Again, not just for the people in the state, but I feel like the whole country gets to see what both of these teams are capable of. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
That's about it on my end.
I think that's about it on my end as well. You can follow myself on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow James on Twitter at jsmurphymedia. You can find all of our coverage at djournal.com or, you know, on Twitter at djournalsports. James, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.